everybody was so excited about this year because of a change. But you know, as Christians, there is no change. Nothing has really changed. God is still in control. God was in control in 2019. He'll be in control in 2030. And us as Christians, we should appreciate that and be totally happy to know that there is always somewhere you can go, no matter what your problem. And this song that I picked today, it talks about that. It talks of the celebratory nature that we should have as Christians. And sometimes, obviously, we don't do what we need to do, and that probably goes to all of us. But I hope you listen to the words of this song. It's an up-tune song. I think everybody's in a good mood this morning, right? I mean, I might have you clapping and all that stuff. That won't make me mad. Now, this track on this tape, it kind of skips. It's kind of old, and I've had trouble with that. So if you all think that I've lost my head, I probably have. I'm trying to catch up with it. But anyway, track number 6, please. Who's got the best hallelujah in the house? Who can raise a hand of praise, give a victory shout? If God's been good to you, I'd like to hear it now. Who's got the best hallelujah in the house? I don't care who's got the finest car to drive, and it won't touch my soul to know that your airplane cannot fly, but I'd like to hear it told by some really, really knows. You're in the miry clay, now you're lost and twist to say, if you're the one this song's about, let's hear a victory shout. Who's got the best hallelujah in the house? Who can raise a hand of praise, give a victory shout? If God's been good to you, I'd like to hear it now. Who's got the best hallelujah in the house?
Hallelujah.
Are you the one whose luck was running bad? Or maybe you the one that was always feeling sad? Well, I'd love to hear it told by someone who really knows. You're in the miry clay, now you're locked in the rock to stay. If you're the one this song's about, let's hear a victory shout. Who's got the best hallelujah in the house?
Hallelujah.
Who can raise a hand of praise, give a victory shout? If God's been good to you, I'd like to hear it now. Who's got the best hallelujah in the house?
Hallelujah.
Who's got the best hallelujah in the house?
Hallelujah.
Who can raise a hand of praise, give a victory shout? If God's been good to you, I'd like to hear it now. Who's got the best hallelujah in the house?
Hallelujah.
If God's been good to you, I'd like to hear it now. Who's got the best hallelujah in the house?
Hallelujah.
Who's got the best hallelujah in the
Would you all believe me if I told you that he's from the upper part of Maine? Because it wouldn't be true. He's another one of our bluegrass boys. What, Winchester, Irvin, Richmond? Mount Sterling, where they have the world famous court days. You can buy a corn pone, you can buy a dog, you can buy a gun, you can buy a politician on that day. We finished up last week with this verse, these three verses in the chapter, and I'd like to bring it up again before we go forward. It says, "Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all." This is in 2 Thessalonians, Bob, chapter 3, verse 18. "I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is distinguishing marks in all my letters, and this is how I write. The grace of our Lord God, Jesus Christ, be with you." Isn't that a way to start off a new year? By blessing one another with the grace of God. Dear Lord, give us your strength and blessing this very day. And though we count days and months and years as time goes by, we know that nothing works without your guidance. So bless each of our days and our months and our years if you see fit to give them to us. I pray for those who are sick, those who are in beds of affliction, those who are in hospitals or nursing homes or recovery centers, those who are facing surgery and need your help as well. Help those who are their caregivers and their loved ones to take care of them. We ask, Father, that you be with our country. And we hear the saber rattling and the sounds of war and spoke of war. Father, we will give it to you. Bless our military who serve us, who've left their homes to stand for America and the freedom and peace. Be with those who are veterans that have in the past have served us. Be with our first responders, our police and fire, and those who help us daily. Bless us now, Father, we serve you. May this church and this community grow. Be with the speaker this day, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. An odd fellow, Mr. Timothy is, as we start the first chapter, the first verse of the book of Timothy. He was sort of plucked out, maybe because of his history, maybe because of where he came from, maybe just because of his disposition. Have you ever met anybody who just absolutely got your attention? You said, there's something special about this person. They have the pizzazz, if you would like to use that term. They have the feeling that you say, this is something good going on here. That was Timothy. His mother was a Hebrew, so he was taught of the Old Testament. He knew the Hebrew language. He knew the ways of the growth and direction of God. His father was a Gentile, so he served dual roles, just probably as Paul did himself. And yet he was the man at the right place. See, some of the early leaders did not accept what Paul was teaching. Now, they weren't unscriptural. They just had different ways about him. Paul and some of them broke up, and Timothy came in to take the place of John Mark, who Paul refused to have go with him. He was a young man, full of energy, you know, probably in his 20s or 30s. He wouldn't have been very well responded to if he was younger, much younger than that, because the Hebrew men did not accept anybody under the age of 30 as an adult. But yet he was Paul's go-to man. He would travel and work for him. We read in verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope." Paul introduces who he is. Had he just been Billy Bob who walked in off the street and said, "I think I'm going to start writing books," they would be like a lot of the books that were written that we don't read, because they weren't inspired by God, they weren't blessed by God. And Paul says, "I'm doing this because God chose me to do it." I personally believe in my heart that God offers opportunities, not just positions, but opportunities to people to serve him and serve each other. And if we fail because we went about it the wrong way or we went the wrong direction, maybe we weren't satisfied with what was given to us. He said some are given to speak, some to teach, some to work, and some to serve. Have you found what God wants you to do yet? Or has God told you what he wants you to do, and you're not listening that well? Well, that's not really what I had in mind. You know, not everybody can preach like Billy Sunday or Billy Graham or one of these famous preachers. Not everybody can sing like all these people we watch on television and buy their records. Or can they all write like Bill and Gloria Gaither? We have different talents. And sometimes just standing at the bedside, at the hospice, sometimes just standing at the bedside in the hospital or serving somebody food or carrying things into them is just as much a talent and a calling as anybody's head they stood in front of thousands and thousands and sang and preached. And we've got to be satisfied with that. Matter of fact, we saw three nights ago, this guy down in Fort Myers who plays four pianos at the same time. He's got one behind him and one on each side and one on the front. You know what I'm talking about? Down to, who? Come on, Irene, hurry. Question. Never mind. Didn't matter. Some people can do that, but not all of us. That does not mean there's something we can't do. And Paul says, I'm going to do this because God told me to do it. Now, Paul was not a good character. Matter of fact, we'll get that in just a minute. But Paul was not a good character at first. He says to Timothy, my true son in faith, not his physical child, but one who had come behind him and learned to grow. We have a calling in the ministry of somebody's Timothy, or church sends out a Timothy, based on this young man who knew what God wanted him to do, and with the direction of the church, with the direction of other friends, gave him that direction to go and to teach and to preach. He says, my true son in the faith, grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. That's not a bad greeting. Hello, how you do is okay. How you been? What's going on? Where are you from? I've used that once or twice. Where are you from? Is it snowing up there yet still, and it's going on for long? There's different greetings we can give, but grace to somebody, mercy to somebody, peace to somebody from God, that's a tremendous, heartfelt, meaningful blessing. Maybe that's something we should take on. When you meet somebody this year, say grace to you, peace to you, blessing to you. See how they respond. They may go like, what are you talking about? Or they may go, same back to you. I hope you all did this year what a lot of people did, and what I did is when somebody says, happy holidays, I say, you have a Merry Christmas too. Oh, happy holidays. It's about Christ. And we can go into a two-hour sermon about when Christ was really born and all that kind of stuff. You don't want to hear that. We've done put the stuff away. We'll talk about that next year. But bless them in Christ's name. That's what we can do. It carries a long way. I urge you, when I met you in Macedonia, to stay in Ephesus, so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer or devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Such things promote controversial speculations rather than advancing God's work, which is by faith. See, Paul was in a war with Satan. And as he traveled and taught, he was very successful by God's blessing. But Satan was after him. And a lot of times after Paul left a town and had started a church, in came those who were trying to teach, well, that, you know, Paul's an old fuddy-dud, and that we don't do it that way anymore, and that's not what's required, and you shouldn't listen to him, and, you know, he's part Jew and part Roman, and we're all Jews, or he's part Jew and all Roman, part Roman, and we're all Roman, so don't listen to him. And I still think the devil today is going after us. I think he's trying as hard as he could. I mean, did you watch some? I know a couple of you didn't, but there was a ball game on yesterday afternoon. And there's this fella down in Texas, J.J. Watts. He's the one that gave so many thousands of dollars and then got a thing going to help those that were hurt by the storms and raised millions of dollars. He came on, they say, in the second half and just started knocking people down, usually from the other team, because they were down 16 to nothing. And you don't want to be down 16 to nothing. He started full court press, and he got things done. So I think there's a race right now between God's people and Satan's followers, and both of us should be in a full court press. We should not sort of, oh, it's the first of the year, and it's cold. I'm in Florida. It's beautiful here, and people back home. And we can get 1,000 excuses why things can't be successful. The main reason things can't be successful is we're not trying to do them. So we should set our calendar, and I'm going to talk about resolutions in a few minutes. We should set our daily calendar. What can I do for God today? What can I do for God's people today? Let God use me and lead me. And when we do that, it will be as successful, as Jeff said, 2020. It will be successful. Maybe not in our eyes, but in God's eyes, and that's what counts. Because as we know, he's the final judge. So when we hear disruptive things, preacher, this said that, this church believes that, on and on. There's only one God, Jehovah of Israel. There's only one way to salvation, through the blood and the confession and the Christian burial into Jesus Christ. And all these things are just ways to confuse us. And let us not get confused. I was invited to a preacher's meeting coming up of the interfaith, interdenominational sort of like do what you feel like, do what you want to do group. I said, not for me. Because to join something like that, I have to say it doesn't matter what you believe. And I do believe, Dwight Elam, standing with my hand on the Bible, I do believe it does matter what you believe. It, God wouldn't have given us those words if he didn't think it was important enough to follow them. And then it becomes our responsibility to do that. And he gives us opportunities. Don't say there wasn't an opportunity all year to do something good last year. And for sure don't believe there's not going to be a good one this year. Got to go looking for it. And when it comes, we've got to respond to it. Oh, tell the people who are teaching false doctrines not to teach them any longer. To devote themselves any longer to myths. Endless genealogies. You know, there's a lot of religions that worship the ancestors. He said, don't do that. You worship God. That's what's important. The goal is to advance God's work by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. What is, you know, if you were picking your own son-in-law or daughter-in-law, or maybe even your own spouse, probably not a bad idea. Look at those things there. Where was that? Love. I mean the love of God there, agape. Pure heart. Now, I'm dating myself, but I tell you, you all know I was born in 1951. That was another century, by the way. Snidely Whiplash. Anybody remember Snidely Whiplash, you know? Just wanted to do something bad no matter what it was. Get with the little handlebars and throwing the girl on the train tracks and tying her down. And along came John, all like a Dudley Do Right, etc. You know, there are Snidely Whiplashes in this world who want to confuse you with lies. Who want to distract you with sparkly little things. Who wants to keep you from serving God and take your soul away from you. Be very careful of those kind of things. Have sincere faith. Not just, I think this that way. The better answer is, if somebody asks you a question that you don't understand, say, well, let's look into the Bible and see what it says. Now, I have had been to me, misquoted 1,000 times. And I just say simply, give me a book, a chapter, and a verse where you found that information. And we'll pull the Bible out right now. And we'll look for that verse in that chapter, in that book. And if it doesn't say what you think it says, then you may better change your thoughts. That's what we need to do. Some have departed from these and have turned into meaningless talk. A term I had heard years ago was called a ratchet jaw. Cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha-cha. You know anybody like that? And they can't get you with facts, they'll confuse you with words. Don't let that happen. Listen to what somebody says. Listen to some of these, no, I'm going to say listen to some of these radio preachers, but maybe it's not a good idea. Now, there's one on the internet you can listen to, but it's you have to go to firstchristianchurch.com to get there. I want you to be teachers of the law. But they do not know what they're talking about. And what's so confidently affirmed? Did you ever meet somebody who's always right? Oh, some of you have. Yeah, you hear some laugh. Yeah, you've met those people. No matter what you say. Beautiful sunny day. No, I hate it. Today is Thanksgiving. No, it's not. It's 4th of July. I mean, whatever you've got in mind, they're against it. Don't let them drag you down. Don't let them convince you by over and over and over convincing the words that they say, because you can get led astray. You think everybody that was in the group, the Helter Skelter group, remember the Helter Skelter group? You think everybody that was born that way, Squeaky Fromm was born, that she wanted to kill the president or they wanted to kill the actress? No. They're taught in that. They're taught in that. Some of you, like my background, have German in your blood. Do you think those people in Germany and Austria were born that they wanted to kill first Jews, then Polish, and the infirm and all? No, they weren't there. They were taught that way. And all the things with Idi Amin and all the things that's going on in this world today. Those who hate Israel, God's chosen people who want to just do anything they can to them and probably will try. Do you think that they were born that way? No, they're taught that way. Baby, little baby is not born hatred or prejudice. That's taught. We must stop that. When we hear something we disagree with, if you can't stop it, then walk away, because your being there, it affirms that it's true. And we don't want to affirm anything that's a lie.
to be true.
Make that a New Year's resolution, if you would. Resolution, revolution. Now we know the law is good if one uses it properly. He's talking about the law of the Old Testament, Moses' law. If it's used properly, the law is a cutting sword to cut the truth away from lies. It is not to be a club. It's not to be a hammer. It's to be a guide for us. We know that the law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels. The ungodly, the sinful, the unholy, and the irreligious. Those who kill their fathers and mothers are murderers. Those who are sexually immoral. Those who practice homosexuality. For slave traders and liars and those who do prejudice. Lies. For those, for whatever else is contrary to the sound doctrine that confirms the gospel concerning the glory of the blessed God, which he trusted to mean. Paul said the law teaches us what is wrong. And the New Testament does as well. For 9 of the 10 Old Testament, good 10 commandments, are also in the New Testament. The one that isn't, observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. He gave us the Sunday to worship. So the things that are distracting, the things which you feel bad about hearing about, the things that are evil, that will change your mind, your relationship with people, get away from them. Get rid of them and be sorry for them. Because it will not help you. Hatred and evil is to no one's benefit but Satan. And that's what we need to do. Make that your next New Year's revelation. I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, Paul says in verse 12, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointed me to his servant. Even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord is poured out upon me abundant among the faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. If you're not familiar with Paul, his name was born was Saul. Saul was a very educated, the most probably at his time, the most educated Hebrew at all the words of Jehovah. And when this new sect came across called Christians, he was convinced in his mind that they were wrong, that they were evil. And went all about Israel trying to kill them, arrest them, harm them, lock them up, put them in prison, whatever he could do. And he was very good at it. Paul said, I was wrong. When that light came upon him on that road to Damascus, Paul saw what was going on. Saul, Saul, why does thou persecute me? Is what he heard from Jesus himself. I don't know who you are. I'm Christ. And Paul changed. As the old monkey song, I'm a believer from that time on. 3 years he spent in the wilderness learning, about maybe as much as 12 years before the apostles would even talk to him because they were afraid of him. It wasn't until Peter came to him and accepted him that he worked. But he was a stalwart. He worked as hard for Christ as he did trying to destroy Christ. Paul said, I was ignorant. I spoke against the Holy Spirit. I spoke against Jesus. I spoke all these kind of things and I was wrong. But God forgave me. You cannot tell me and convince me that you have done things in your life that God will not forgive you of. It says the only unpardonable sin is blasphemy, the denial, the cursing of the Holy Spirit. Other than that, all sins are forgiven. Peter, 3 times that night, denied Jesus. And yet Christ brought him back. And Christ used him. We can't be so bad God doesn't still love us. And the point we need to realize is, why don't we accept that? That's another resolution you can make this year. Let me listen a little more about what God has said to me, what he means for me, and what he wants me to do. And maybe I can grow some as well this upcoming year. But Paul was sincere about that. He was the worst of all sinners, he would call himself, more than once. But God saved him. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus came into a world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Verse 16, for this very reason I was shown mercy in me, the worst of sinners. Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him. Now, by most of us, we are very impatient people. Talking to a guy this week. Here, I'm talking about something in church. His septic tank broke. And the septic tank pumper router, and if you've ever had a septic tank pumper router, you know what that means. Was supposed to be there at 12 o'clock. 12:15, his wife called up and said, "You're not coming at 12 o'clock. I fire you." Her septic tank still ain't pumped out because she didn't wait. She didn't have the patience. We're busy and backed up. She didn't have the patience. Sometimes we get so far ahead of ourselves that our plans have to work that we forget to let it take place at the right time. Diana Ross. Anybody remember Diana Ross? She's like 200 years old. Or 250, I don't know. But she's coming to Fort Myers to sing, but that's beside the point. She sang a song back in the 60s that I remember better than yesterday. "You Can't Hurry Love." Sometimes we get in a hurry and don't wait on God to use us the way He wants us to go, to direct us, to send the right people in our lives, and we can really mess things up. Have a little patience in our life this upcoming year. Now to the King Eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. There we go again, praising God. We talked about it in Sunday school today. Do we ever praise God enough? Solomon was leading the crowd praising God when he brought the Ark of the Covenant to the temple. Do we ever praise God enough? Do you ever see a bright sunrise or a sunset? And you say, no big deal. Do you ever realize that it's snowing up north and we're not using shovels? You say, no big deal. Actually, that is a big deal. There's a lot of things we don't take advice of. A baby's smile, a hug from a grandparent, a thank you from a friend, a relative. Those are things we can be happy about and earn praise because we're serving someone else. Now he goes to change the path a little bit. "Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this command in keeping with the prophecies once made about you." Somebody told Paul, this Timothy's the guy, he's a go-getter. The headhunters would have wanted him because they wanted to put him in a job. And that's what he's doing. Paul put him in a job. And he's thanking God that those told him in the prophecies he would be good. "So by recalling them, you may fight the battle well." We have a song. It has the words, "We're soldiers of the cross." Remember that one? Soldiers of the cross. And that's what we need to be. Now, a debate recently, in a speech recently, a politician said, "This is my Spartacus moment." Well, Spartacus was a leader that led a bunch of slaves in a revolt against Rome and died because he was going in the wrong direction. He wasn't prepared. We don't need Spartacus' moments. We need victories. Oh, victory in Jesus, Joe. Isn't that the way you sing it? Oh, victory in Jesus, our Savior forever. That's the goal that we should have this year. Let's find victories. Let's not find losses. Anybody can lose, and everybody can have victories if they choose the right war to go into, and our war is against Satan. And we can't surrender, because if you surrender, you lost. And the kingdom, the good for the kingdom you can do, is failed. And no doubt in my mind, Jesus is disappointed. Because that spike is driven a little bit deeper anytime we give up. And we don't want that to happen. We go on in verse 18. We're calling, fight the battle well. Verse 19, holding on to faith with a good conscience, which some have rejected and so have suffered shipwreck. In regard to the faith. You ever met anybody that you thought was really strong Christian and you looked up to them and you find out years later they've just given up on life and they're doing everything against what they had known you to do or wanted them to do and teach you? And you say, why? It's because they let Satan into their life and let him win. Now, there's not a one of us that's not sinned. I've figured out that. We got Jesus. And it's way below the line after that. And Paul will tell you that. This great writer, this great teacher, this great preacher said, I'm the chief of sinners. Well, we can't vault ourselves above Paul. But yet, Paul was forgiven. Because he chose Jesus. And that's what we can do this coming up year. When it comes between this and that, if this is for Jesus and that's against Jesus, I don't think it should be a hard decision. But it's one we've got to make. Actively, intentionally make. Paul's telling Timothy to make his resolutions. we'll get to the commercial. Tuesday night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I fell out of bed. I actually thought, no kidding now, seriously, somebody was breaking in our glass windows in the other side of the house. We got them like 9-foot wide glass windows. There's too much glass. And somebody must have shot off a small cannon. And it shook the windows. And I reacted like falling out of bed. And I go, I'm looking out the window to see if nobody broke in the window. And another one of them cannons went off. I said, oh, that's the neighbors. It's Tuesday night. Those are fireworks. I'm glad they're not breaking my door. I went back to bed. But we weren't the first generation to do fireworks. You know, the Romans, Julius Caesar and three other leaders established January the 1st to be the first day of the year. And they lit it up with fireworks, and so did the Chinese with the fireworks and the gunpowder. They had all kind of noise and banging things, and it was a celebration. Why were they doing it? To drive out the demons, because they thought noise would send the demons on the way, and they would do that once a year. Our job is not to drive out the demons once a year, but to do it every day. Get away from me, Satan. Did not Jesus say, get behind me, Satan? You know what Satan had to do? He had to get behind. And when we tell Satan the same thing, do not distract me. I will not do what you want to do. Get behind me. He has to do it. Because he cannot involuntarily capture anybody. It is our choice. Right and wrong is a choice. Now you got the little bitty, remember the cute little things? A little red devil on one shoulder and a little white angel on the other shoulder. They're both whispering in your ear. Well, that's semi-true. Satan's whispering in your ear, do this, do that, it's okay. Nobody cares, nobody's watching. And Jesus said, you know what's right. You know what I require. You know what I expect. Do the right thing. Well, there's some other resolutions. You see, the Babylonians had New Year's. They were the first ones that we know of, about 4,000 B.C. The Spanish eat 12 grapes at midnight. They believe it gives you 12 good months. It would give me a bellyache. Guess I'm not Spanish. The oldest of all the holidays, of course, is New Year's Eve. We talk about the revolution. I want to tell you, it's been strange. You know, the year was never a year originally. There were great debates between Caesars, between religious leaders, lunar calendar versus regular calendar. One time, you know, they took away 11 days, one day to catch up. Somebody figured it out was 365 and a quarter days, and they were gaining a minute every year. And before long, it was 11 days away. There's a lot of different things you could do. The Georgian calendar from the Pope George set it at, in 1582, of January 1st would be the first day of the year. But, oh, have you ever been in England, London, England, on New Year's Eve? They stand around Big Ben as it knocks 12 clacks off, gang, clongs, and they sing "Auld Lang Syne." Have you ever met a Lang Syne, let alone an old one? I never met a Lang Syne until I looked this up. And it says, it's a Scottish song written by Robert Burns in the 1700s. It means long, old long ago. Old long ago. Put the things behind you that are bothering you. It was long ago. You can't affect yesterday. You can apologize and maybe make it better to those you've harmed. But you can't. It happened. So maybe our resolution should also be put things behind you that you can't affect. Don't let it drag you down. Guilt is a terrible thing. It will hurt and harm your life. Yet you can put it aside because with the blood of Christ, you're no longer guilty. Now, let me give you one more. Let me give you one more. It's my favorite New Year's Day. Give me a second. Every year. Hey, that's pretty good. That's in the key of, it's in the key of X. You'll never find it on the calendar. Every year on New Year's Day, Rosh Hashanah, the high priest, or the priest in your locality, was to blow the shofar. It shows the beginning of the year. Their calendar's not like ours. Their calendar is the first day of the first month, which is early September, which the Hebrew calendar is based on, the creation of Adam and Eve. And they claim that's the beginning of the year for them. They go on an agricultural calendar as well. That's the planting time. So they learned that when they were in Egypt, and it was the equator and all that, and that was the growing season in Egypt. And the end of the year, which would be the harvest time, would be a different time than ours. We don't normally harvest in the summertime or the fall. That was their planting time. And that's the beginning of each year for them. Rosh Hashanah means the door is open. It also should mean don't look back, for the old time is departing. So my challenge to you this year, make your resolution, make your revelation, make your whatever you want to call it, make a promise to yourself. I'm going to do the best I can with the talents God has gave me, because the thing he gave me first was Jesus. Now, I've got one more minute. Give me one more minute. I want to read to you. I got a whole bunch of scriptures lined up. I want to read to you the one that counts the most for today. Oh, by the way, year or yearly is in the Bible 992 times. I studied this. New is in the Bible 137 times. But the time that counts the most in the book of Revelation. And I'm going to read this verse to you. Revelation 21:5. It says this. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun. For God will give them the light, and they will reign forever and ever. God has a plan. It's called heaven. John tells us, when they asked him about heaven, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go therefore to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. Oh, Thomas didn't know. How can we get there? We don't know where you're going. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Our resolution this year should be, let's follow Christ to the Father. Our hymn of invitation decision is number 404, Pam. How about that? Stand with me as we sing that together.
To Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a new year. We pray your blessing on everyone that's here as we leave this building, Father, that we can remember what we've been taught here this morning, that we can look out at people that need Christ, and that we can tell them the good news about Jesus, what he means to not only us, but to this community, for the cause of Christ around the world, the missionaries that we support. We thank you, Father, for each one that's here. We ask your blessing on this congregation in this new year. We ask your blessing today as we depart. Give us a good day in you, and we'll praise and thank you for all the blessings of last year and the ones we look forward to in this new year. We just ask a special blessing on our preacher and his family. We just ask you'll take care of him in this new year. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let us close with hymn 86. Jesus, we just want to thank you. 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 Thank you for being so good. Have a great week. Ahem.